We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
You're listening to the Bear Report Podcast with Zach Pearson and Aaron Lemming, providing extensive coverage of the Chicago Bears for the Bear Report website. The podcast is powered by Overtime Media. Now, here's Zach and Aaron.
And welcome into another edition of the Bear Report Podcast. That music you're hearing is the new intro. We finally got a new intro. No more of the Bear Down fight song. I am one of your hosts and the publisher of Bear Report, Zach Pearson, joined as always by my co-host and Bears insider, Aaron Lemming. Aaron, it's been a couple days since we talked, man. How you doing?
Oh, doing all right, man. It's the end of the football season. The football season is over. Well, I should say the NFL season's over with. It's kind of weird, I guess. I don't know. I was watching the Super Bowl with a bunch of Rams fans. As most you know, I live in California. These people that have actually been Rams fans for quite a while, back when even when they were in LA the first time. So it was kind of one of those things, man. I didn't really have anybody, you know, that I was pulling for in the Super Bowl. Didn't really care one way or another. I thought the game was pretty bad. I know a lot of people said, oh, yeah, well, you know, it was a defensive game. I thought it was a poor offensive game, personally. I didn't really see great defense. But either way, here we are, man. I mean, the Super Bowl is over. The season's over. Now we can get to all the off-season shenanigans. I think what the Pro Bowl, the Pro Bowl, wow. The Combine.
I don't want to see the Pro Bowl again.
Yeah, right. The Combine's coming up, dude, and, you know, yep. we got some good stuff coming. So, yeah, we just kind of got to get a little creative, you know, as far as fans go, just kind of occupying the time till everything starts.
Yeah, I think that's going to be kind of our biggest challenge with this podcast, you know, you and I doing it together for the first time in our off season, and there's not a lot, you know, too much to talk about after the Super Bowl, and thank God they aren't playing that Pro Bowl twice again.
That would be bad.
The two-hand touch bowl, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that Super Bowl, man, that was kind of boring. That was like, I don't know, I was at a party and all of us were kind of like sitting around. I think we're all expecting like that offensive output, and it just never happened.
Yeah, it's funny because I kept telling my buddies, I'm like, dude, you know, at some point in time, they're, you know, the offenses are going to get it figured out and they'll start scoring points. And I mean, it was 3-3 almost at the end of the third quarter. I mean, it was just, yeah. And like I said, I know a lot of people are like, oh, you just don't like good defensive football. It's like, I'm a Bears fan. I know what defensive football is. That was right. Not defensive football. That was just poorly played offensive football.
100% agree.
Tom Brady didn't look good. Jared Goff didn't look good. I mean, whatever. So I guess the only good news is, at least, you know, we got the Alliance Football League, American Alliance Football League, AAL or something. I don't know what the hell they're calling it. But either way, I mean, that's coming up. That starts this next week. So it'll be interesting to see. I know there's a few former Bears playing. Christian Schadenfeld put something out on Twitter last night. I think it was like Will Sutton, Devontae Bosby, and there was one other guy that I can't remember who it is. But I guess we'll see. I mean, you can kind of, if you're really that bored, you can start doing scouting on some of those guys in it, because I'm sure you're going to start seeing some of the good players from that league join teams in training camp.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see how much of a feeder that's actually going to be, because you did mention there are those former players. And I actually, for some reason, I get emailed like a list of whenever they make like rosters. I don't know how I got on this email list for this league. I've never signed up for anything for it, but I get these like emails that are like, oh, this player signed. Here's the roster going into this and this and this. I'm like, oh, whatever. But I'm interested to see if that's going to be a feeder, how much of a feeder that's going to be, you know, for the NFL. But, you know, for this show, there was some Bears news, but we do have a great show for you lined up. We're going to talk a little bit about Bobby Massey's contract extension now that the money's actually come out, because last time we talked, we really didn't have much of an idea. There was the Ian Rappaport tweet, but we didn't have much of an idea of Bobby Massey's money, and now there's a little bit of an idea of that. And then we also have a special guest that's going to join us later on the show. I think fans are going to love it. After we recorded it, both Aaron and I both said that was one of our top interviews that we've done so far. No disrespect to anyone else we've had on the show. We've had really good interviews, but that one was pretty damn good. And you're going to get some insight from actually a former Bears player. We asked him about all this stuff. So, we'll be talking about that in a little bit. And then Bobby Massey. Before we get into things, though, let's hit our first break of the show.
This is the Overtime Podcast Network.
The Old West is an iconic period of American history. I'm Chris Wimmer. Join me on the Legends of the Old West podcast to hear the true stories of lawmen like Wyatt Earp, Bass Reeves, and the Texas Rangers. Outlaws like Jesse James and Butch and Sundance. And Native American battles of the Lakota, Comanche, and Apache. We use cinematic storytelling and sound design to bring these stories and many more to life. Subscribe for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening now.
And welcome back into the Bear Report Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Zach Pearson. I'm joined, as always, here by Aaron Lemming. And, you know, just before the break, we actually teased what we're going to reveal in the show. But Aaron, Bobby Massey, last time we talked, man, he had the extension signed. We didn't really know the money part of it. And then Brad Biggs, the Chicago Tribune, put out earlier in the week, Monday, about the details. Biggs does a good job of kind of breaking it down. And that was a much more team-friendly deal than what I expected.
Yeah, me too. My original reaction was, okay, good, they re-signed Bobby Massey, and then Ian Rappaport put out that it was going to be 4 years, and I think he said it was going to be like, it was over $8 million a year, and it's kind of like one of those things like, wait a second here, this is just, I don't know, it kind of surprised me a little bit. And then you start seeing the details on it, and it's like you said, it's a team friendly deal. Basically what it is it's when you look at it on paper, I guess you could consider it a 5-year deal. What would be 4 or 5 years, right around $40 million, but there's only like $15 million guaranteed. So essentially what's going on is he took a very team friendly cap hit in year one, which is going to be, I think it's 3.6 or 3.8 million. I'll have the contract details in front of me. And all of his guaranteed money will essentially be paid out by year two. And then, you know, obviously they'd have some dead money into year three, year four. But there's a lot of team options within those years. So, I mean, Bobby Massey's kind of getting up there in age. And, you know, it's one of those things, if he falls off, kind of like Ryan Schrader did for the Falcons. I mean, he was really good and they re-signed him. And all of a sudden, you know, he was looking good, and then he just fell off the cliff this year. And the Falcons, much like the Bears, are going to be in a position where they can cut a guy like that, and they could still save money. So, I mean, overall, it just kind of goes back to, and sometimes I have to remind myself, it's like, you know, Ryan Pace knows what the hell he's doing.
Yeah, that was, you know, another one of those things where you look at the contract and you're like, okay, Ryan Pace kind of did it again. You know, he made it essentially that 2-year deal. Very team friendly. It's the 5 years added on, but when you break it all down, it is, you know, most of the money's up front. I like it because, you know, we talked before, Massey's probably the best option in free agency for the Bears, and to keep him in house rather than going out and maybe risking a draft pick or looking at another veteran, I think it was a smart move by Pace. It just has that feel, you know, hey, Ryan Pace kind of did it again.
Yeah, and that's kind of the thing, and I think this kind of brings up a bigger point here, though, is, you know, we're sitting here and, you know, we've talked a little bit about the upcoming offseason and what they're going to do in terms of who they're going to re-sign, all that stuff. But the thing with this deal is it really, I mean, there's really no other way around it. I mean, it put them in a position where they locked down one of their top pending free agents for essentially, you know, nothing. I mean, they're still going to have right around after the Glennon cap credit, which hasn't been added on either spot rack or however you say that, or over the cap. That's going to be $2.5 million that they'll get in offsets from last year, and it's credited on to this year. So, I mean, they're still going to be dealing with, as long as the cap is $189-190 million. I mean, they're still going to be dealing with probably, you know, $10-11 million. And that's before they make any cuts. I mean, obviously, Deion Sims is gone. You know, they can make some other moves. But the bigger picture here is, at least in my mind, and yes, it's one move, so maybe it's kind of a big conclusion to draw from it. But I think that we're kind of seeing right now that the Bears are going to put themselves in a position with the guy that they signed with some of these contracts to where they can go out and they can make a move or two. I mean, we've talked about it. I don't think, realistically, I don't think they really have that much to do. I mean, and that's kind of the other situation too, the other coin of this is just, I don't know if they're going to be able to re-sign both Amos and Callahan. But if they can re-sign one of those guys, they really have one hole that they would need to fill or replace, and then basically kicker and then punter and, you know, outside linebacker depth and stuff like that. But I mean, the Bears are in a position right now, and running back, you know, but the Bears are in a position right now, and it's becoming evident to me that, like we've been saying, I think they're going to be aggressive this offseason.
Yeah, I do. I think so too. I think, you know, locking down Massey does fill one of those needs. I finally got the numbers in front of me. Actually, I was kind of pulling them up here. And when you look at the 5 years, $40 million, $15.8 million guaranteed. 2019, a $2.4 million base salary. He's got the $6.5 million signing bonus. 2020, $6.9 million base salary. He's got the workout bonuses in there too. It says 5 years. I think Massey gets maximum, he probably makes it 4 years maximum. Realistically, he makes it 3 years through this deal. So the fifth year really is kind of thrown out. I think the Bears by then will have moved on from Massey, and he kind of gets those 2 to 3 years, which is a great move by Pace because it also allows them, like you said, to make some of those big moves this year, whether it is keeping Callahan or Amos, or maybe a surprise move down the line. I think the way Pace is constructed, Massey is a good sign for what he plans on doing with this Bears offseason this year, because, you know, we've said it before, there's going to be a time where he's going to have to pay that draft class with Trubisky, Eddie Jackson, and Tariq Cohen. So I think Pace is smart. He's looking at the future while kind of constructing these deals and not putting himself in a bind where, you know, maybe GMs of the past have done so.
Well, I think what we're going to start seeing, I mean, kind of like you just brought up with the Trubisky class. I mean, even look at this upcoming class. I mean, they're going to exercise a fifth year option on Leonard Floyd, but they also have Cody Whitehair. I mean, the thing is, and this is something else that, you know, people are going to have to get used to, including us, is the fact that they're not going to be able to re-sign everybody. But there's been a lot of talk. I think Adam Johns has been mainly the one pushing it, basically saying the plan is for them to get something done with Cody Whitehair to extend him out, which I think is a smart move. And then obviously you're going to have, you know, Leonard Floyd on his fifth year option. So you have control for two more years there. And then after that, I mean, it's coming down to Tariq Cohen, Eddie Jackson, and then obviously Trubisky. I mean, those, I don't know, you know, in terms of what Tariq Cohen's going to get, I would imagine, you know, guess right now would probably be $8 to $10 million. But obviously Eddie Jackson, if he keeps playing the way he's playing, I mean, he's going to be paid as a top flight safety, and Trubisky's a quarterback. So, I mean, even if he's average, he's going to be probably getting $30 million or more per year by that point. So it's kind of one of those things. The Bears have kind of got to be careful with what they're doing to a certain extent. But it's also one of those, I think, as Bears fans, especially under Ryan Pace, we've been kind of conditioned to look at the cap. And this is something I've been doing a little bit more work on over the last few weeks. You know, just kind of looking at the cap and saying, well, you know, the Bears have some guys they could cut if they wanted to. You know, they could turn around, they could cut Kyle Long, and they could cut a few other guys, you know, create some space. And maybe that doesn't make the most sense. But the one thing that we're not really remembering is you can look at a cap number, right? I mean, the Chiefs and the Saints have done this for years, where you can look at a cap number and they're in the negative. And then all of a sudden, right before free agency starts, all of a sudden they have $15-20 million to spend. And it was like the Chiefs a few years ago when they – when they went out and they extended Eric Berry. I mean, it's just there's always something that these teams can do. I remember when the Bears claimed Josh Hill and New Orleans didn't really have any money, but they somehow made it fit. Good GMs, and I think Ryan Pace is a good GM. Good GMs can manipulate the cap to where they can kind of fit things and they can push things back, you know, and it's going to reach a point, and hopefully no time soon, but it's going to reach a point where the Bears are going to be in a situation where they're going to have a lot of dudes that are old that are still probably, you know, making some good money, but they're also going to be, you know, kind of out of their competition window. And that's where you, that's kind of where you start pushing that stuff back to. So maybe you have that 1 or 2 years of the rebuild where you're kind of, you know, offloading some of this money and whatever, but we're not even close to that. But I guess my point out of this is that we need to kind of recondition our minds at this point and say, okay, on paper, maybe they only have $10 or $11 million. But when you start looking at the moves that they can make, you know, asking players to take pay cuts, reworking deals, doing stuff like that, converting Khalil Mack's base salary into a signing bonus, I mean, they could easily clear $15 to $20 million in the blink of an eye on top of the 10 that they already have. Plus, they don't have a first or second round draft pick. So I think that this is going to kind of be a – this will be a learning experience, I think, this year for a lot of fans to kind of know, like, all right, the Bears have been building and building and building to get to the point that they're at. They arrived a year early. I think we can almost all agree on that. You know, this last year, I don't think many people were expecting playoffs, at least before Khalil Mack. But now the Bears are in a position. They're in their competition window. For most teams, windows don't last very long. Anywhere from 2 to 5 years is normal, unless you're the Patriots and you somehow win 6 Super Bowls in a crazy amount of time. But I think that we're going to see a different approach from Ryan Pace, and it may be taking a little bit more risk. It may, you know, we may look back, you know, in the first few weeks of March after free agency is kind of the big flurries kind of over with. And we may look back and be like, how do they make some of these upgrades? Like these upgrades didn't even look like they needed to be upgraded on paper. And yet, you know, it's kind of like the Rams last year. The Rams didn't have a ton of money, and somehow they made it work. They added a bunch of players, and then they made their roster quite a bit better, and they made the Super Bowl. So I don't know. I think we're in for an exciting offseason, but I think it's going to be different.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of the norm now where you can't get, you know, too attached and expect all your good veteran players to be there or your good young players to be there while they're all veterans. It's just not the reality of the NFL real, you know, anymore. But yeah, you got to be creative, and I think Ryan Pace, you know, in his time with the Saints has learned, okay, you know, we got to be, this is how you be creative. This is how you move money. This is how you free up money to go and make that move. Like you said, you used the example of Josh Hill with the Saints a couple years back. So, yeah, I don't know. I just think in this, you know, this age of the NFL with quarterback contracts, and Mitchell Trubisky is going to get paid by the Bears. I don't think he's not going to get a record setting deal. He's not going to get anywhere to what Aaron Rodgers is getting or anything like that. But with the NFL now, if you have a really good quarterback, you're kind of forced to, hey, I have to pay him. Look with the Ravens and Joe Flacco. They were forced to pay him because of he produced, and now he's probably not even going to be on the roster next season. So I think in this age of the NFL, when you're looking at it, those big quarterback contracts really kind of stranglehold you in a way. I don't know what kind of your thoughts on that. I know Trubisky isn't going to get – he's not going to get a huge contract and making more than someone like Aaron Rodgers or anyone top of the market.
Well, and I think it's kind of one of those things when you take a quarterback in the first round, obviously you've always got the ability of the fifth year option. And I think in the situation of the Bears and Trubisky, at least looking at it right now, as you know, as he ends year two, there's obviously been some unevenness. I think he's, in terms of, you know, what he's doing, I think the arrow is definitely pointing up. But I think it kind of gives you basically 3 years of flexibility. You still have 2 years on the rookie deal, plus you have the fifth-year option, which ultimately is still going to be probably about $10 to $12 million less than market value for quarterbacks. And so I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, but you bring up a good point in the fact that right now, okay, yes, they are paying Khalil Mack $23.5 million a year. So they don't have quite a quarterback contract. I mean, it's kind of like a low-level quarterback contract. But the point being here is a lot of their talent is still in its rookie deal. So the Bears have that flexibility to where they can go off and they can do different things. And ultimately, they really don't have to worry about paying the quarterback for at least 2 more seasons, if not 3, if they hang on that fifth-year option and just, you know, kind of play it out. It all kind of depends. I mean, with the way teams deal with those fifth-year options.
That's your window, too, right there. I mean, you just pretty much said their window with those draft classes with Trubisky and Cohen and Jackson, and now you look looking in the future, Roquan Smith and James Daniels. We're looking at, like you said, the 3 to 5 year window, probably five at max right now, where the Bears will have that shot to win. And, you know, I just couldn't help but think, I know a lot of people tweeted this out on Sunday night as the game was going on. Oh, the Bears would win this game. The Bears should be there. Okay, yeah, I think the Bears had a chance to be there too. They weren't there. How close do you actually think the Bears are to winning that Super Bowl? I mean, especially after you saw the Rams, they put up 3 points against the Patriots. 3 points, which was their season low, and the next season low was when they put up 6 points in Chicago.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because that's exactly what I was going to bring up next. And you know, I
great minds think alike.
Exactly. You know, so it's like I tweeted something out. I think it was right after the Super Bowl. It basically said something along the lines of, okay, you know, the Bears, or, you know, watching everything, I'm not going to say that the Bears should have been in the Super Bowl or won the Super Bowl, because ultimately they were in the wild card game and they didn't win it. That's just the reality of the situation. I don't care if Cody Parkey missed a kick. The fact is they didn't win the playoff game. So I'm not going to sit here and say they should have been in the Super Bowl this year. What I will say is I watched every playoff game, some of them begrudgingly, just because it hurt like hell for the first few weeks, you know, after the Bears lost. But when I look at what they were able, you know, what these other teams were doing and what the Bears were capable of doing and what they did in the regular season, I look at the talent gap between the best team in the league, let's just say the Patriots, or even if you want to make that argument for the Rams, just because, you know, they made the Super Bowl as well. And you look at that, those rosters, and you look at the Bears rosters, I mean, I don't see a big difference, do you?
No, not really. I look at the one comparison. You can look at Jared Goff and you can look at Mitchell Trubisky, both young quarterbacks. Goff obviously didn't play well. That's actually probably the worst I've seen him play, and I probably watched probably 8 to 10 games, but that was probably the worst I've seen him play. He missed that wide open wide receiver in the end zone, and it wasn't like New England's defense. That's not a superstar defense. That's not a defense we're going to be talking about 30 years from now. Like, oh, hey, remember that New England defense that won Tom Brady at 6th championship? No, they're not going to be talking about that. He looked awful. I think when comparing, you know, the Bears and the class of the NFC with the Rams, you got to go Rams, Saints. I think the Bears actually, as it stands now, if I were to bet, I would bet on the Bears to be better than the Rams next season.
Well, and that kind of brings up the other point, because I think the Rams are still going to be a pretty good team, although, and that's the other thing that I think we kind of need to talk about this, though, is the fact that, okay, look at where the Bears are moving in the free agency. They got two starters. They've got the kicker situation. They need to get figured out. Punter, I'm not overly worried about that, and then maybe an upgrade at running back, right? And you look at some of these other teams out there, and especially a team like the Rams, for example. I mean, they have free agents that are probably going to leave and not come back. I mean, you got Ndamukong Suh. You got, I think, Aqib Talib was in the final year of his deal. You also have LaMarcus Joyner. There's plenty of players on that team. Whitworth is thinking about retiring. I think Roger Saffold is set to be a free agent. There's a lot of moving pieces within that team, and that's kind of the thing. I mean, you want to talk about these windows. You want to talk about how, you know, you're not paying a quarterback, and that's something that the Rams are about to do, and that's the same thing with the Saints. I look at the Saints, and I'll openly admit, I overrated them. I overrated them heading into the postseason, because if you actually look at what their offense did, how well they actually played, they dominated the first, I'd say, 10, 11, 12 games. And then it kind of got to a point where Drew Brees was not the same quarterback. I think he had 8 touchdowns, and he was 6 or 7 interceptions in the final few games of the season. Like, he wasn't the same player. He didn't look like the same player in the playoffs. I mean, they really didn't look that good in the playoffs as a whole. It's like you kind of look at trends like that and you kind of wonder, you know, with the Saints. I mean, they popped up out of nowhere a few years ago. Their defense was not good this year. I mean, their defense is what got them to the playoffs in 2017. But you start looking at these top teams here and you say, okay, you know, who's trending what? And I think the Bears are trending up. I think the Rams are going to be close to the same. I think you're going to have to kind of see what happens with the talent they lose, how they replace that, what else they do. But then you look at a team like the Saints, where it's obvious that the time's running out with Drew Brees. It's, you know, they don't have the sustainability, I think, on defense to be a consistently good team, especially in that division. And you kind of start looking at things, and at least to me, I mean, my expectations, and obviously we'll have to see how the offseason goes, but my expectation is the Bears to be at least one of the two best teams in the NFC. But frankly, I think there's a very good chance that they could easily be the best team in the NFC. Obviously, you know, Packers come out of nowhere, the Vikings come out of nowhere. There's plenty of teams that could come back and, you know, maybe the Eagles, whatever. But I think the Bears are moving in a very good direction. And I don't think a lot of teams are going to be able to match that this offseason for the simple fact that the Bears are going to have a lot of the same team they did this year than they are next year.
I think that's very realistic, too, because the goal should be for the Bears to get that first round bye this year. Last year, you know, the playoffs kind of came out of nowhere. Maybe midseason, you're kind of thinking, okay, Bears, they're going to go to the playoffs. They're in really good shape. You know, season goes on. Maybe they beat the Rams. Okay, there's a shot at a first round bye. I think going into this season, the Bears' realistic expectations and goals, outside of obviously winning the Super Bowl, has to be, okay, let's get that first round bye. Let's put ourselves in a position where we're going to host a playoff game and have one, and we win that game, we're going to the NFC Championship game. And if you want to up it a little more, okay, let's get the number one seed. Let's have the playoffs run through us. Because going into these playoffs, I didn't think there was any chance any team was going to beat the Saints at the Dome just because of that home field advantage. And what you touched on, the Saints were just not the same team down the stretch. They did have essentially 2 weeks off because they did rest their starters week 17. So they had 2 weeks off before they played. They obviously beat, they beat Philadelphia. So I drew a blank there. They beat Philadelphia.
But they barely beat them. They barely beat Philadelphia.
They if it wasn't for that fake punt they had in the first half, they'd probably lose that game.
Well, and if it wasn't for the fact that Alshon Jeffrey dropped the ball on what, the 7 yard line and ended up being an interception, they probably would have lost it too.
That's very true. That is very true. They looked flat out rusty coming out of that the 2 week bye essentially. So yeah, I still think, you know, the Saints, as long as Drew Brees is playing, because that, man, that division is just, every year I have such high expectations for the NFC South. I'm like, okay, Panthers probably put it together with Cam. Falcons offense is finally going to wake up, and what happens? The Saints just run away with it because the other three teams are, they're so bad. It's just a really bad division for some god-awful reason. But yeah, I would say realistic expectations, the Bears do make, you know, they get that first round bye, have the playoffs run through them, and then make a run at the Super Bowl.
Well, and I guess this is kind of leading a little in the next season. Maybe we're getting a little ahead of ourselves. But the other thing I was kind of curious to get your thoughts on, because, and maybe this is going to be an unpopular opinion, but there was that report, what was it? I think it was Sunday. I think it was the day of the Super Bowl that basically came out and said that, and it was by a New Orleans reporter that said that the Bears are rumored to basically host the season opener against the Packers for the 100th anniversary on Thursday, you know, Thursday Night Football. Now, I saw a lot of people getting all amped up. One, I don't like Thursday games. I think Thursday games suck. I don't care if they're on Thanksgiving.
Worst.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care if they're on Thanksgiving. I don't care what it is. It's too early in the week for me. I'm a creature of habit. I like this. You know, I like having games on Sunday. If every game could be at a noon start, that'd be phenomenal for me. So I don't know. I mean, maybe, and that's the other thing, like, okay, I get it, the Packers are the Bears' biggest rivals, you know, so on and so forth, but at least to me it's like, you know, I was really amped up for last year when they opened with the Packers. I don't really want to see them open with the Packers again. I understand the whole marketing aspect behind it. It's 100 seasons for the Bears, it's 100 seasons for the NFL, so on and so forth. But am I the only one that's just not over the moon at, you know, excited at the fact that they may be opening up the NFL season?
Well, because we've seen it 9 straight years now where the Bears and Packers have played in primetime, and all those games have been in Green Bay for some odd reason. I don't know why the NFL has done that to the Bears. I don't know. I saw that report too. I saw that tweet out too. So the NFL is pretty much, if that happens, is going to change. The Super Bowl winner will not play on a Thursday night this year, which, I don't know. I kind of like that tradition. I don't like the Thursday night games, but I'm kind of for, you know, hey, let the Super Bowl team open it up. Let them have their ceremony and whatever they do before the game. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of in a weird place with it because I do like the Bears-Packers rivalry. I think the Bears are finally on the right side of it, or actually trending towards the right side of it. I don't know. I don't want to have that loss. Like, you know what I mean? As much as I think the Bears are better than the Packers, there's still a feeling, oh, Green Bay is still going to beat us. Oh, Aaron Rodgers is still going to pull one out of his ass like he did week one and beat us. I don't know, man. It's tough for me because it is the 100th year of the NFL. It'll be 100 years of the Bears franchise. I think we're kind of destined to have Bears Packers open up at Soldier Field.
Well, and I think that's where it's going, because I was reading, I think it was Adam Hogue put out his 10 thoughts. I think it was either today or yesterday, and he basically said that the talk was, especially since the Patriots won the Super Bowl, and I kind of agree with this. It's like nobody really wants to see another Patriots game in prime time to open up the season. I agree with that for sure. And I think that may help kind of aid the decision in the fact that, yeah, the Bears are, you know, probably going to open up. I don't know, man. It's kind of one of those things. Like, obviously, I'm not overly worried about the losing aspect by any means. I'm just kind of more of, I like, especially when you're talking week one. Like, I didn't even like the fact that they opened up on Sunday Night Football this last year, because I wake up at, you know, 6-7 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm just a nervous wreck for the entire day. And it's one of those things, like, I like waking up and, you know, being all amped up and watching the Bears play first thing in the morning. I mean, that's just kind of my thing. Like, I like them being the you know, in that first time slot on Sunday, and then being able to watch the, you know, the 3 o'clock games, you know, for in Chicago time, and then, you know, obviously Sunday Night Football, and then Monday Night Football the next day. I don't know that I'd particularly be overly excited that they were playing on Thursday. The only nice thing would be out of that would be that you wouldn't have that Thursday game in the middle of the year, because every single team, at least to my understanding, every single team plays on Thursday. So the only good news is if you open up the season on Thursday, then regardless, good or bad, you know, you're not really shorting yourself, because you, the last preseason game's the Thursday before that. You got all that prep time, so you play the game. Then you have kind of a little mini bye, and then you go into it. But it's not really inconveniencing to where you're going to have that short week in the middle of the season. Because, I mean, that almost screwed the Bears against the Lions. I mean, and especially with the whole Trubisky thing. So, I don't know. I guess it's one of those things. I'm sure I'll grow to like it regardless. But I'm already a little irritated just for the simple fact that they're going to be playing in London. And what that means for people here on the West Coast when they play in London is the fact that you got to wake up at 6:30 in the morning to watch a game. And I'm not really looking forward to that.
Yeah, I like those noon games. But unfortunately, with the Bears being good now, they're going to get at least 4 primetime games next season, I think. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Bears are a moneymaker. That's what we've been saying.
Especially when they're good.
Exactly. That's if the Bears are good, it's good for the NFL. I mean, that's just what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, looking – so – kind of go back to that Thursday point before we should get into our guest. Looking at the Patriots' opponents, they do have a home game against the Chiefs scheduled for 2019. So, I mean, if NFL's looking for ratings, I don't know how much better a Bears-Packers week one would do than a Chiefs-Patriots-AFC Championship game rematch.
Yeah, well, I think at least when I was reading it, it was basically something along the lines of, if the Bears got the Thursday night slot to open up the season, then the Patriots would open up their season at home Sunday night. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, either way, it's gonna be the same exact broadcast. I mean, it would be the same exact broadcast, because you'd have
Collins the NBC, right?
And Michaels. Yeah, exactly. So. I mean, either way, I don't know. I don't know if there's really any loss to gain ratio for them at this point. You know?
What about a Monday night for Bears Packers? Well, no, because that'd be at 6. Well, yeah, it'd be the 6 o'clock, because they always have the West Coast game.
Yeah. See, and that's another thing. I don't know if I could last all day on Sunday watching all these other teams play and then having to wait for the Bears. That's all I'm saying. Just put them on at 12 o'clock on Sunday and just let it happen.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That's going to be something to follow, because we'll get the schedule April. So
it's like a week before the draft, usually.
But I'm wondering if they'll announce, like, their kickoff plans, because they're definitely going to have a kickoff thing for the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, they usually do, I thought. That's usually like one of the first things announced. I want to say it's like right before free agency.
Yeah, so we'll know within the coming weeks. Yeah, if I'm going to say right now, kind of go back to your first, don't give me that Thursday night game. Give me Patriots-Chiefs. I'm fine with that game instead of Bears-Packers on Thursday. I want to see Bears-Packers, let's give them week 3-4, then maybe week, 12, 13? Because I kind of liked, actually, this year, the first game, I was excited. It's Bears-Packers. Bears probably should have won that game. But at the end of the year, that game actually meant something for the Bears for the first time in how many years that they played the Packers towards the end of the year? Like, it actually meant something. It actually felt a lot, you know, meaningful.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just that's kind of the thing. I'd rather not see the Bears open with the Packers and then close with the Vikings for, you know, second year in a row.
Oh,
and then
my
close
God.
With the Vikings.
And dude, that, you know what's going to happen. It's either going to close with the Vikings or the Lions again.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see.
Yeah, well, speaking of former Bears seasons and former Bears players, actually, I think we should get into our guests now. Aaron and I had the opportunity to interview Earl Bennett, former Bears wide receiver. He joined us on the podcast to kind of talk about his playing career, what he's doing now, including his new podcast, which mixes sports and music, and it's a very interesting and unique idea, and I love it when he was talking about having the athletes and musicians on his podcast and kind of how they mix. Aaron asked him about it, and it was a really good answer he had. So we're going to talk to Earl, give him your thoughts, and maybe even a little Robbie Gould question. So let's get into that interview now. This is former Chicago Bears wide receiver Earl Bennett. And now joining us here on the Bear Report podcast is former Chicago Bears wide receiver Earl Bennett. Earl, thanks for joining us, man.
Man, thank y'all for having me. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing good. We're doing good. How are you doing?
Man, I'm doing well. You know, just got back from Super Bowl, which was interesting because it was my first time attending and, you know, just trying to get back in the swing of things, but all is well.
Good. Oh, that's awesome, man. So I got to know right off the bat. So Zach was telling me before we got this thing going, you got a podcast. I'm still trying to get into, you know, the podcasting thing. But what I thought was interesting is that you are kind of combining sports and music, which is something, I mean, I came from a musical background, probably a little bit different taste in music than a lot of people. But I've always been kind of curious, you know, how is it mixing the music aspect with the sports aspect?
It's been cool, to be honest. A lot of guys really enjoy the content, and a lot of guys really enjoy music, right? So, for instance, I have Jordan Howard on this week's shows. Everybody has a song that they listen to that they get riled up to before the game. And so I asked Jordan, I said, hey, Jordan, what's that one song that you have to listen to before you go out on the field? And he's like, oh, that's easy. Future, Savages, right? And so every guy has that one song that they want to listen to before they go out on the field. So I thought it was interesting to see how some rappers want to be athletes and some athletes want to be rappers, whether they are trying to transition into rapping, whether they just, you know, love the flamboyancy of being a rapper and the persona that they carry. And I figured, why not start a podcast to look at the symmetry between the two? Because if you hear Drake speak, he'll tell you, yeah, hip hop and sports are synonymous. But why is it synonymous, I think, is important to look at in depth. And so speaking with these guys, just talking about the culture, talking about relatability, exposure, things of that nature to really bring light to the, you know, the symmetry.
Yeah, so, I think that's awesome. It's just one thing on this really quick, because the funny thing is, you know, I love music. I love sports. Wasn't really good at either one. Kind of got by it with the band stuff, you know, but I got to know, man. So, you know, I get a lot of people who are kind of into different music, but at least for me, I've always been, you know, especially if I'm going to go out and work out or if I'm going to do whatever, I've always been into the heavier stuff, man. As far as like in the locker room and on all these teams, I never really hear the heavy music. Is that just not a thing in the NFL or what?
Yeah, I think if a guy listens to heavy music, it's basically to himself. I've never really heard a guy listen to heavy like music in the locker room. That's interesting. Maybe I should look at that and ask a few guys if they listen to any type of heavy music, because honestly, I mostly hear, you know, hip hop, hear gospel, R&B, country, you know, all of those things, but not heavy music. So I'll be sure to ask the next guy that I have on the show.
So you spent 6 years in the league with the Bears. Before we get into that kind of your career, what's that one song that made you pumped up or maybe you listened to before games?
Yeah, so being from Birmingham, Alabama, this guy was actually a underground rapper, what we called him. His name is Gucci Mane, but this was before he went mainstream, all right? Like, he was a local guy, you know, basically, like, in between, like, the Atlanta, Birmingham area. A lot of people knew him, and he had a song called Photo Shoot at the time. And so I would repeat this song, like, at least 7 times before I ran out on the field. And so everybody knew, even because Johnny Knox, his locker was next to mine. He'd be like, oh, man, here we go. We got to hear Gucci Mane 7 times before we go out. Here go Earl, you know. And so that was my song to get riled up to, you know, because when you think of, you know, playing football, you always got the camera on you. So my idea was that, hey, it's about to be a photo shoot. Take your camera out.
Yeah, that's got to be a good one, you know, kind of get you and your teammates kind of pumped up and ready before big games. You played in a couple big games with the Bears throughout your career. Was there that one maybe special one that kind of stood out, or any of the games that maybe you look back on, you're like, man, I wish I could go right back out there and kind of replay that game again?
Yeah, I think that NFC Championship game that we lost to the Packers, that's the one that stick with me the most, just because, you know, for one, we lost to the Packers. For two, we lost to the Packers at Soldier Field. So that one hurt a lot, just to, you know, be able to get back at that position and start the game over from like play one. Like, I would do anything just to get back there, to have our quarterback healthy, to be able to, you know, run our regular offense and not have to cater to the backups. So that's the one game that comes to mind to me. Like, I just want that game back. Like, it's unfair, you know, like we lost our starting quarterback. We didn't have a fair chance, but hey, injuries are a part of the game, but if one game I could choose, that would definitely be the one.
So, and I find it kind of interesting that you reference that game, you reference that season, because one of the things I've always kind of want to know, and I like to get players' perspective, especially former players. You know, I'm obviously watched the Bears this last year. You know, things are finally turning around there. So I'm kind of curious to get your perspective, because at least from my view, maybe this is a little bit of a homer take, and, you know, granted, this was a little bit ago, but I felt like the 2010 team and even the 2011 team, I felt like, I mean, it was that one injury, maybe those two injuries away from being, you know, that Super Bowl team. So I'm kind of curious, from your perspective, how do you view the team that you were on there in 2010, 2011, and what the Bears are building right now?
2010, we was putting the pieces together. We had a young offense, guys who were just starting to click and understand each other better. The chemistry was starting to flow a lot, you know, a lot smoother. And guys just started to buy into the system, because it was Mike Mark's first season there. And so we were getting acclimated to the plays. We were getting ready to, you know, really show the world what type of team we were. And so you go to Coach Matt Nagy, his first season, you know, guys are buying into what he's doing. He's having fun with play calls. It's just one of those things that the team and the players sort of gravitate towards the coach, and they want to play a lot harder for him. Similar in 2010, you know, we had Mike Martz. We started gravitating towards him as an offense, and we started to grow, and we started to, you know, have a ton of success. And so when I look at the comparison between those teams, I think that's it. Like, you got a fresh new coach in there, new eyes, somebody that really enjoys the game, a student of the game, and somebody that really wants the best for each player individually. So they're going to put you in the best position to succeed at every play. And that's the similarities that I see between, you know, the 2010 team and this team this year. And so going into 2011, for us, it was just about, you know, trying to stay on that path to continue to get better week in and week out. But what happened earlier in camp with the trading of Greg Olsen kind of threw everybody off, just to be honest. Once they traded Greg, it was like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, you're messing with the continuity of the team. And a lot of guys didn't really like that. A lot of guys, you know, started to push back on Marks a little bit. And, you know, that was his last season in Chicago. So he only did two seasons there. But the one seed, his first season he was there, we went to the, you know, NFC Championship game we lost. So for the team now, I look forward to them to continue to build off this season. You know, Coach Nagy, the young core that he has on offense, the young core that he has on defense. And I think that's another big difference too, is that the team now, they have a lot of younger guys defensively, where it's like the 2011 team that I was on, like, guys were aged, and Chris Harris, Brian Urlacher, Lance Briggs, like, those guys were getting older, right? But this team now, like, the window's still open for those guys to, you know, continue to succeed and do well and play at a high level. I know they lost Vic Fangio, but I still think that they'll have a very dominant defense.
And you talked about, you know, Matt Nagy and his offense and kind of the players buying in. How much fun would it have been for you to kind of play in an offense like Matt Nagy's?
Oh, man, I think about it all the time when I watch them play. just from the play call standpoint, you know, Santa Slay. Like, I've never heard anything like that a day in my life. So, to be honest, I just want to see his playbook. I want to see his play calls. But to be able to play slot in that system would have been a lot of fun. some of the things that he do. A lot of players are very interchangeable, like Taylor Gabriel doing some of the speed sweeps, the ends around, the quick screens, the ability to, you know, work the middle of the field. So me, honestly, I would have loved to play in a system like that. And he's a very, very player-friendly coach.
Yeah, it's, I mean, they're building something. At least it looks like it. I mean, it looks like they're building something. So this kind of leads into my next question, because obviously we have the offseason coming up. Free agency starts March 13th. The Bears really have, in terms of starters, I mean, they got two starters about to hit the market. And, you know, Adrian Amos, Bryce Callahan, you know, they have punter situation they got to figure out too. But I'm kind of curious from your perspective and kind of to go back a little bit here. I mean, you were drafted, you signed, you didn't even get to free agency. I mean, you signed a 4-year deal. It was in the last year, your rookie deal. And then obviously when you went to the Browns, you were a free agent as well. So I'm kind of curious to get your perspective on the benefits of signing early versus what Callahan and Amos are doing right now in terms of they're probably going to test the market. I mean, what are the pros and cons? Is it just a personal preference?
Yeah. Man, that is a tough question. I think for the most part, it is personal preference. But also, if you feel like you're being lowballed by the team, you know, that's what your agent do. They figure out your market value. They tell you if Chicago is lowballing you and they think you can get more on the market, you know, possibly. But when you look at those two guys, for me, when I signed my deal, the one thing that I wanted to do was, you know, be established with a team already that knew my strengths and my weaknesses. And so by signing a long-term deal with Chicago, I knew and understood my position on the team, which was very important for me. And two, you risk injury trying to continue to play, you know, throughout multiple games, as we saw what happened with Johnny Knox, which was very unfortunate. But he was probably going into free agency and was going to make a ton of money. And he felt like he was being lowballed by the Bears. So it's one of those things where it's a personal preference, but also you have to be cognizant that, you know, you never know when it's going to be your last play. But, you know, Bryce Callahan ended up getting hurt during the season, which would probably hurt his stock a little bit. Adrian Amos, you know, he played very well. So it'll be interesting to see his market value and if he's able to re-sign with the Bears.
So you kind of played in an era of Bears football with, you know, dominant defense, a good offense. Obviously, Jay Cutler was the quarterback, and there seemed to be a lot of, you know, national attention around Cutler. You knew him in your time at Vanderbilt playing in the SEC. What was kind of like one thing that might maybe the national media or anything that was misunderstood kind of about Jay? 'Cause I imagine you got to know him quite well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's just like any other teammate. I think there's a lot of emphasis placed on the relationship that Jay and I have, but he's honestly just like any other teammate that I had on the team. He's one of those guys that's misunderstood in terms of when it comes to the media, because he stays away from the limelight up until now. Obviously, he's on, you know, television, and you can kind of see his charisma that he had, but for the most part, he's just one of those guys that was just very competitive. You knew what you were going to get out of him week in and week out, and he always went out, you know, fought hard until the end. A lot of people didn't like his, you know, some of his nonchalantness. But when you have a guy like that that's real fire in the locker room and you know him as a player, as a teammate, then it makes you just want to continue to go to war with him. We didn't get to accomplish what we felt we could have with him at quarterback, but, you know, things happen.
Have you watched him on reality TV yet?
Nah, to be honest, I don't really watch television that much. I'm just a guy that's always been anti-television, anti-reality TV shows. So, yeah, I kind of leave that up to my wife to watch that stuff.
See, I'm with you. I'm with you on the anti-reality shows, man. I don't think those are really much reality shows. So I guess my last question here is about another former player, and there's no way I could get away with not asking you this. Obviously, over the weekend, you posted a video with Robbie Gould. Now, I'm not going to ask you to reveal any inside information, anything like that. But, I mean, you saw the Bears kicking problems. I mean, obviously, they got a problem here. It sounds like Cody Parkey's probably not going to be back with the team next year. I mean, do you think, even with the cap situation that the Bears are in, do you think that bringing back Gould makes sense, assuming he hits a free agent market?
Yeah, I think if the 49ers does not franchise tag him, I think it makes sense to bring him back for multiple reasons. You look over the past three seasons, he's been clutch. You know, like, I mean, the guy's only missed, what, three field goals, I think, over the past three seasons. And also, when you look at his ties to the city of Chicago, his family is still there. He still loves the city. What a lot of people don't really understand is, like, those videos that I did with him are very genuine. Like, there's no acting. There was nothing scripted. Like, honestly, me, my wife, and my two kids were walking in Centennial Park in Atlanta, and I hear somebody say, Earl Bennett. And I look back, and I'm like, what? Like, I literally cannot make this up. This is Robbie Gold just scream Earl Bennett as I'm walking through Centennial Park in Atlanta. And so I was like, hey, man, we got to do a video. And he's like, all right, cool. Nothing scripted. Honestly, we just pulled the phone out. And was like, hey, man, I can't make this up, you know, and that's why I say, like, I literally cannot make this up. And when you look at his familiarity with not only just the team, but Soldier Field, right? Like, you can bring a lot of kickers in who have been very, very well accomplished over their career, but they can't kick at Soldier Field, right? And a lot of people don't understand, like, why they can't kick, why they missing field goal to Soldier Field. Soldier Field is different. The wind plays a huge factor. The grass, like, there's a lot of external things that come into being a kicker and kicking in Chicago. And Robbie played there, you know, what, 11, 13 years. And he's one of those guys that 12 years. And he's one of those guys that really understand, you know, the external issues when kicking in Chicago. And that's why he was so successful. That's why he's the, you know, point leader in Chicago Bears history. And I just think it makes too much sense to bring him back. So hopefully they're able to figure out, you know, like the details in terms of contract wise. But he definitely wants to be back in Chicago, man. He loves the city. His family's there. I mean, what more could you really, you know, like, do?
I agree. I would love for Gold to come back if the right situation comes about with the 49ers. Earl, thank you, man. Before you leave, where can you know, our audience find your podcast? Anywhere they can follow you on Twitter or anything?
Yes. So it's ProStyle, ProStyle podcast, one word. You can find it on Twitter. You can find it on Apple iTunes. You can find us on YouTube now, Google Play, Spotify. We're everywhere. If you want to follow me, I'm Earl B. Bennett. One word on Twitter, on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, friend me. I accept all friend requests, man. I really appreciate you guys having me on tonight, man. This was a joy to be on with you guys. So if you ever need me again, man, just please reach out.
Oh, no doubt, man. We really appreciate it. That was some good stuff. And once again, that was our interview with former Chicago Bears wide receiver Earl Bennett. Some really good stuff from him. And the whole Robbie Gold question kind of topped it all off. And I know Earl wants to see him in Chicago. I know a lot of people want to see him in Chicago. So we'll see if Ryan Pace can make that happen.
Well, he did say he wanted to be there. So, I mean, yeah, it's, I think a lot of it, it's kind of like Earl said, you know, it really comes down to what are the 49ers going to do? The 49ers still hold the control in this situation. If they tag him, we have nothing to talk about. If they don't tag him, you know, and don't re-sign him, because they have negotiating rights up until, you know, the point, basically up until March 11th, when we would hit that 3-day window where that, you know, it's supposed to be, you can negotiate, but you can't sign anything, quote unquote. But yet we have players that are usually signing by the 12th. I mean, that's just usually the way it goes. Second day into that, the negotiation period, the legal tampering period or whatever it is. So, I mean, we'll know. I mean, this time next month, I mean, we'll pretty much know exactly what's going on. I think franchise tagging, the window for that starts, I think it's like the 26th, I think.
Yeah, 25th. It's right before the combine.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of when everything's going to start. You got the tag stuff, which it takes usually a few days for these guys. And we're going to see a ton of players get tagged this year because there's a lot of free agent pass rushers out there that teams aren't going to want to let go of. So it's going to be interesting. And I think Landon Collins is going to be another guy who gets tagged. So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, I hate to say this, but we're still about, you know, two and a half weeks away from really anything going on in terms of, you know, the combine and all that other stuff. But at least in the meantime, I'm kind of curious. I am going to watch the Alliance League this week, the Alliance Football League this weekend, and kind of see what that's about. We had, you know, Andy Phillips on the podcast last week, and he had a tryout. So we'll see how that goes. You know, I have a feeling sooner rather than later he's going to end up getting added to one of these teams. And these are the kind of players that I root for. You know, it's kind of one of those things that might be a scouting thing, because you never know. Maybe one of these kickers is impressive, and maybe the Bears don't get Robbie Gould, and here we are, you know, scouting some of these guys, some of these kickers, and maybe the Bears signs one of these guys. I think the season ends in April.
Yeah, are the games televised?
Yeah, every single one of them is going to be televised. I think it's going to be NBC Sports and the NFL Network. So I have Andy sent me the schedule.
Yeah, you have to pass that on to me.
Yeah, so yeah, either way, I mean, yeah, the games are going to be televised. I mean, not to be mean, but the games probably aren't going to be great football by any means. But it'll still be interesting, because I think that the thought process behind this and why the NFL is backing this is because this should be a pipeline for guys that maybe wouldn't have got that second shot before are now going to be able to get that second shot. And who knows? I mean, we may see some players that you know, are hot shots there that came in and can actually be contributors. I hope. I hope these guys.
That's something to keep an eye on, too, because, like you said, you know, the season will be wrapping up in April, and then you'll have training camp invites and all that being sent out after the draft and with the rookie minicamp. So, yeah, that's going to be kind of interesting to see if anyone actually does earn a training camp invite from their play from this new league. That I'm gonna start paying attention to. I do get those emails. I just haven't really researched much into it. But yeah, like you said, Aaron, man, the fun starts in a couple weeks once those tags and everything start getting going, and then we have the combine, and then you'll have free agency, and then there's kind of, you know, end of March, there's that little bit of the dead period with not a lot of free agent stuff goes on or anything, and kind of leading into the draft that everyone's releasing mock draft volume 210 that they've done since the Super Bowl. So, I mean, we're going to do them. We're going to do some mock drafts, but we're not going to put out, you know, 10, 15 each.
Yeah. Well, that sigh was more of just the fact that I'm way behind the offseason schedule. It's the first time in forever, the Bears are actually good. So I wasn't sitting there watching draft prospects and forming free agent lists in the beginning of October. So,
hey, I'll trade that though. I will trade the Bears being good for that.
Oh yeah, exactly. I don't put nearly as much of the time and emotion in the offseason I normally would.
Thank you again to Earl Bennett for joining us. You can check out his podcast, Pro Style Podcast. It's on iTunes, other podcasting platforms. He's also on Twitter. He mentioned it was at Earl B. Bennett. He even invited everyone to friend him on Facebook. I'm his friend on Facebook. That's how we kind of reached out to him. So, yeah, go ahead, go friend him. Yeah, thanks again, Aaron, for joining me. Where can everyone find you on Twitter?
Find me at Aaron Lemming NFL.
And you can read Aaron's work on the Bear Report. He just dropped a cap projection outlook type article for the Bears going into this offseason. And then you can read my work on the Bear Report. You can find me on Twitter at Zach_Pearson. I recommend you read both of our work and check us out.